Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here on the south side of town in Rutherford County. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out in Bellevue. Marquise Munson holding down things at our studios. Him and Dagwood. That's it. 1824 Murfreesboro Pike is where you can find it, in our Wholesale Inc. game studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And now we say hello and good morning to Jeff Hemm, the fine voice, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds. Jeff, how you doing? How are you and the family doing?
Guys, it's good to talk with you. I'm fine. My family is fine, thankfully. We're just, like you guys, following the orders and staying away from people and trying to be as normal as we possibly can be, and what's something that's anything but we're doing fine. And just talking to you guys today feels good. This is just a really odd time, and there's just really no way to describe something like this. So just talking with you guys and feeling closer to sports and baseball and just our normalcy feels good. So thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for doing this. I wish we were actually talking about a game you were going to do tonight, but, you know, these are the times that we're in, and hopefully that will happen soon enough. But we did want to have you on to talk about, as we've talked already today, Jeff, in the first hour, about these sports having to think outside the box and what is the next way to kind of tackle this pandemic and still do it in a safe manner and still do it in a way that everybody thinks is safe for the players and everybody involved. And Major League Baseball, it got out yesterday about kind of what's been tossed around in this Phoenix area, this 60-mile radius with all these spring training sites. And who better to ask than somebody who has seen that setup? While we've been out to that area, I don't think I've not seen it like you have through your eyes. So when you saw that, one, what was your first impression? And two, what is that area like?
My first impression was kind of a mixed bag. I deep down felt like my reaction was sort of like, okay, great that they feel that's possible, but we're not there yet. And that's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I love the optimism, and I love, and rightfully so, MLB and minor league baseball for that matter, and all these different leagues should be throwing out ideas and having conversations and trying to get this back as soon as we can. But I was encouraged to hear that whatever people thought about the reports and the possibilities, MLB is in constant contact with the CDC and the various health organizations. In other words, it's one thing to say, well, we're going to do this because we want to. It's an entirely different matter to say we're going to do this because these knowledgeable people who are basing things off science and facts and data say it's safe to do. And so hopefully those two things are getting closer and closer by the day to being one and the same, where we're allowed to do what we want to do because it's safe to do that. So I was reading the reports and the possibility of what MLB and the Arizona setup would look like, just like you guys were. And there are definitely some hurdles, and I think there would be a lot to that would have to be worked out. I still don't think they're imminently close, but the bottom line is I like that they're trying to figure out a way to make this work, and minor league baseball is in the same boat and hoping there can be some variation of a season as soon as possible. We're still within the original 8-week window that was around mid-March when the CDC said no large gatherings for at least 8 weeks. And so that would take us to about the middle of May. So anything that is being thrown out there from a baseball standpoint, or probably the other sports too, is looking at mid to late May at the earliest as a best case scenario. But then from a baseball standpoint, you get the added element, and the other sports have it in their own ways too. You need to crank up spring training to a degree for a little bit. So an actual baseball opening day, is unlikely to happen at this point in that mid-May time period, just because they'd need a little bit of time to get back together in that new normal and get back in game shape. The Arizona setup is, I guess it's doable in the sense of the facilities, but I just think there are a lot of hurdles from, keeping these guys separated from their families, hotels and the hotel staff. I mean, just in the day of a professional athlete, these guys come in contact with a lot of different people. It's not just the other 24 guys on their roster or the 5 to 10 coaches and managers. I mean, so it's not easily pulled off, and MLB knows that. I think they're taking the right approach. They're discussing possibilities. They're not saying this is what we're doing and we're doing it on this date no matter what. They're just trying to be ready so that if the medical professionals say, okay, it's clear to try to execute something like this, they're as ready as possible. So in that regard, I give them credit, but I think there are some hurdles to cross, and I don't think, just in my personal read on the situation, anything is real imminent at this point.
You sound probably a lot like I was throwing out there the last 2 days, yesterday when we talked about this. Look, I am at the point, I'm all for thinking outside the box and talking about anything and everything as long as it makes sense and it's safe and it's sound and it's foolproof to what we're going through. But there's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of freaking hurdles that I'm not smart enough to get in that room and figure out. Smarter people are supposed to do that. So it sounds like from your tone, you still think, while, it's, once again, thinking outside the box is okay, it's really hard to pull something like that off. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, hard to pull off, but not impossible. And again, the bottom line would be that the medical and scientific professionals, like you said, the people who are way smarter than I am, and no one's asking for, no one's calling me on my opinion for this other than you and I today just kind of talking it out because we love the game and we want the game to return. I'm good with anything as long as the folks like the CDC and the WHO and all these different organizations that we're now becoming well-versed with every day on the news, as long as they're giving it their blessing, and clearly MLB is in contact with those organizations. I think as maybe premature as everything kind of sounded yesterday, it's all within the umbrella of I cannot believe that MLB or the NHL or any league that's wanting to restart is going to do something unless they have full confidence from the right people that it's okay to do that, because all it's going to take is one series of reinfections or new infections to wipe it all out. So you got to be really careful when you come back, and nobody wants this thing back sooner than I do. This is a really weird time. I hate that the sound season would have started tomorrow night and it's not. So I hope that these leagues and officials and everybody involved, and I think they are, I'm not saying they're not, I just hope we get the blessing because it's safe, not just because we're impatient and we want it to happen. It's got to be more that it's safe to happen, and then I'm all in.
I'm talking to Jeff Hemm, the voice of the Nashville Sounds, about a potential Major League Baseball season out in Arizona. He knows the lay of the land out there. So, Jeff, let's, I guess logistically, again, in the idea that you could minimize the risk, and maybe in the coming weeks and months, we will find better ways to identify, or safely say this person does not have the virus or had the virus, all of these things, the testing issues that you could do. But one of the things that I thought was interesting about Jeff Passan's article was he was talking about things like the umpire standing back from home plate and just getting involved in plays at the plate, and the balls and strikes would be done electronically, and you would eliminate things like meetings on the mound and have the players sit in the stands rather than together in the dugout. I think those were interesting ideas. I don't know what will stick and what won't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, and again, I think Darren said it the right way. Like, we're all open to anything, and clearly MLB is throwing out ideas to get them vetted, and maybe they get turned down. And so I think it's easy when we see an article like that to think that it's easy to say, well, MLB doesn't know what they're doing. It's just because it's like all the trades in sports that never happened. Just because a trade got discussed doesn't mean a team was anywhere close to making it happen. And so I think that's kind of where we are with some of these ideas, as outlandish as they sound. I think the idea is to just get the sport back. I think you want to – I there's two sides to it. I think getting a sport back would be a great message to the country of normalcy, and we're all just craving these things that are part of the fabric of our being, these teams we love, these leagues we follow, these players that we adore and all that. So we want it to come back, and it'd be this great feeling around the country. But at the same time, like you said, you'd have to make sure that the players are safe, and are they going to get access to testing more readily and more frequently and more quickly than the general public? And that's going to open up a can of worms. That you might have people in the general public saying, well, who do you think you are to get this test when I'm out here in the daily grind and I can't get tested? So there's that component too, that you can't, in my opinion, you can't do all that until testing is so readily available for everybody that people are okay with the fact that Major League Baseball players might have access to a quick test to go play their ball game. So there's just, like I said, there's a lot that, that needs to be worked out. And I trust that the people making these decisions are going to make them because they can, and it's okay to do, not just because they want to do it.
I think that's a great point. The testing is probably the first thing, maybe the most important thing, that's going to have to come a long way before you could really have discussions of pulling this off. But it is, again, like you said.
You read the news just in the last 24 hours. You read the news just in the last 24 hours. There's some encouraging trends, hopefully, that are starting to develop, some curves that are, beginning to maybe flatten. So it's, you read some of that and you think, okay, maybe mid-May, late May, early June, maybe this is doable. But it's too early to tell from that standpoint. But again, I don't think it's a bad thing or too early for MLB or MLS or the NHL, all these different leagues that are on hold. I think they're doing their jobs by discussing ideas, and some of it just happened to kind of get publicized, and so now we're all weighing in with it. But they're in the right to look at all these options. I know the Pacific Coast League, our league, is having ongoing conversations with minor league baseball, just trying to get the latest rather than just, going to sleep and say, wake me up when it's ready. Everybody wants to, have these plans in place so that if the okay, proverbial okay, is given, everybody's ready to go that much faster because they've been doing this planning. So I have no issue with MLB or MILB or any of these leagues having these conversations. They're doing their job, and I trust that they're in constant contact with the medical officials who are going to say, yes, you can do that, or no, here's why I would not do that.
Last thing for me, and Jeff, you could find yourself in this position in some form, right, as an announcer. But this is something I think about a lot, too. We've thrown this out on the show, but if you're a player or an announcer or an umpire, are you willing, for the good of the game, the league, to stay viable, the public's, desire to want to watch baseball, to basically separate yourself from the family, go straight from the living quarters to the bus to the field and back, if that's what it took to stay quarantined and stay separate from everybody else? That's a big, big commitment to make. And we're talking about for months, not for hockey, maybe to finish the season, it's more like 2 months, but baseball theoretically could be in this position for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, you're right. It's a big ask. I think, Darren originally asked about the layout in Arizona. I think geographically it's possible compared to the Florida, to the Grapefruit League, where it's much more spread out. I think geographically it's doable. It's manageable to get these guys to the various ballparks, to the spring training sites and the Diamondback Stadium to play some games. But just in the example you mentioned, you think about if you're going on the bus and you're then going to the hotel and you're needing your meals, just sort of the immediate daily management for a professional ball player of what happens when they're on a road trip or in these quote-unquote home games that they might have in Arizona. There are a lot of other people that despite your best efforts, you in some way, shape, or form have to come in contact with. You still have to eat. You still need your hotel room cleaned. And so there are workers of those entities involved. So it's, again, I'm not saying it's not doable, but it's not easily pulled off uh, to to sequester these guys. And I was reading some tweets from reporters yesterday, just like we're all doing. We're just kind of kicking out responses and ideas to this stuff. But, you know, you think about just playing catch with somebody. You touch the ball, then they touch the ball. I'm reading about players who are trying to stay in shape at home, and they're throwing into a net because they don't want to play catch with anybody because your germs go on that ball. You toss it to me. My germs go back on that ball. I throw it back to you. You think about pitchers licking their fingertips when they're off the back of the mound. I mean, it's just you can talk about players sitting in the stands, and I hate that I'm probably coming off as pessimistic about the plan. Again, my overall view is optimistic that discussions are being had. I just think these are really hard discussions to have. Even the simplest plan still involves a lot of just contact, direct or indirect, within a sporting event. And so I have questions, and because I'm not in these meetings, they may have the answers, and we just don't. But these are just the things that come to my mind of a ball player getting ready for a game. It's really hard not to be around other guys in some way, shape, or form. It's just these are the challenges that these guys are discussing in their virtual meetings.
We're talking to Jeff Hem, the voice of the Nashville Sounds, here on Darren Donick and Chase. And Jeff, as I listen to this and with the discussion of, okay, sequestering players, I mean, another thing that comes to mind, too, is, you know, do you carry 26 or do you carry the full 40 man? You know, you brought up earlier in the interview with minor league baseball and them trying to figure things out. I mean, injuries are going to happen, so you have to have players readily available, and I know we've kind of touched on that, but maybe expand on it, because I don't really know how you address that, because you're not going to have room for, you know, double A, triple A, and the majors. You're going to have to figure that out.
It's a great point. And you know, for this Arizona model, you've got roughly half the teams have their spring training complexes out there. But you know, what do you do if you're the Tampa Bay Rays or the New York Yankees, these teams that have Florida based spring training operations, and you're trying to keep extra guys around? Yeah, I hadn't really thought that through fully, but it's a great point. You need those guys ready, but at the same time, you don't necessarily want to have 100 guys that you're trying to have on the ready and quarantine in a safe way, because just doing it for one guy is challenging enough. So that's certainly a hurdle. And where do you put those guys? And then all of a sudden, if you need to make a transaction, on what airplane are you sending that guy to come? So I think it all comes back to the fact that some of this sounds maybe early or premature or not ready yet, but I trust that the people involved in these decisions are thinking of these things and discussing them, and would have a response in a safe way, and would not do this without the proper blessing from the right medical organizations, because it's just it's not easy to pull off. They know that. It's not easy to pull off a normal regular season with all the logistics. So to certainly do it under these circumstances, hopefully those answers would be, you know, well prepared before any kind of a blessing. But, you know, it's fun to think about. I'm a generally optimistic person. I am missing the game. I hate that we're not having it. So I am all for any ideas, and I have confidence that they're going to make the right decisions and would not throw ball players back out before some of the general public gets back to some of their everyday normal activities too.
Okay, so I'll throw this idea out to you and Darren and Willie as well, because I haven't brought this up yet. And I know that this is very outside the box, but I kind of think that's where we are in this conversation. What if you essentially split up the American League and the National League, and you put, let's say, the AL in Arizona and the NL in Florida because of all the spring training facilities that you brought up? You don't have interleague, and you essentially start the season by doing it that way. Is that something that maybe could be brought to the table?
Well, I think the likelier way to do it, and you talk about outside the box, that's right on. I think you do have some NL teams like the Pirates or the Phillies who are Florida-based, so maybe you've got to do Cactus League and Grapefruit base teams, and that way logistically they've got a little bit more at their disposal from resources and facilities, and you know, who knows what that schedule could look like. It's basically a spring training turned regular season as far as the actual matchups. You'd have, you know, the Yankees playing the Pirates in a three-game series that counts all of a sudden under that example, but at least then you'd have those teams maybe in a, you know, from a cleanliness and a preparedness and all their training equipment and things like that, you'd at least have them based in a spot that's familiar and that can be kind of a lot more controlled. But yeah, we're all in the business of throwing it up against the wall to see what sticks at this point. But, and so I come back to the fact that at least we get to have these conversations. The alternative is some sort of definitive news that nothing's happening anytime soon. So I'm at least loving that there's these conversations, which tells me that smart people think that something could be on the horizon close. And hopefully that would then trickle down to the minor league baseball and the Sound side, because, you know, our guys would need to play in Nashville, and we travel commercially when we travel. So there's a lot of hurdles there that need to get crossed. And hopefully, you know, that's going to come sooner rather than later, because every day that goes by right now is just crushing for all of us who love the game and all the businesses that are directly and indirectly tied to the game. We need to get it back as soon as we can, and we got to do it in a safe way.
Good stuff, Jeff. Really appreciate the visit. You and the family stay safe, and we will certainly talk to you later on. Thanks for doing this.
Same to you guys. Be well, guys.
All right, that is Jeff Hem, the fine play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds. We'll come back, talk about some of the things we just discussed with Jeff on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. This song makes me laugh.
This song makes me think of the Braves.
This song makes me think of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I was like, there's so many things. It can't be just one thing when you hear this song that you think of,
yeah,
right?
I think of Nash. You yes, guys have seen
no
Nash's
doubt.
To this.
Yes.
He's got this down. This always gets the crowd going.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. By the way, we have put out our brain teaser for the day.
I have seen Nash perform this at a wedding.
Oh, really?
Really?
I would have liked to have seen that.
He put on quite a show for the people at the wedding. It was awesome.
We have put out our daily brain exercise a little bit later today, my bad, on that. But it is out there, and so far we're getting this one's hard. We told you that we were going to kind of ramp it up. Every day it was going to get a little bit harder, and today is harder, and we're getting a lot more wrong answers than right. There have been very few correct answers come in, so we're going to make you think on this one. Let's do this, since we didn't get a chance yesterday to go over the answer to yesterday's opening up the lock, okay, with the clues. And a lot of you did pretty well on that. But let me just try to go through it as quickly as I can. Do you guys have that image pulled up so we can quickly go over it and then move on to our discussion?
Well, I'm efforting to pull it up.
You sound like my math teacher. Does everybody have their notebooks?
Everybody, let's
textbooks open to the
open it up
page?
To open up the lock using these clues. That is chapter 2, page 36 in your books. Okay, so let's start with the obvious. Okay, so what you have to do is you have to basically, this is what I did. You write it down in the rows, okay, and you cross out things as you figure clues out, all right? And so the first thing I did was just go on and eliminate 7, 3, and 8. It says all digits are wrong, okay? That is line number 4. All digits are wrong, so we know it's not 7, 3, and 8. Right, they go. Cross off any 7.
It can't be in there.
3 or 8. It can't be in the combination. So there you go. So you get rid of those. Now, the next one I did is the first two rows. One digit is right and in its place. One digit is right, but it's in the wrong place. Okay? So there's an 8 in there, so you know that's gone, right? So you've crossed that out in the first line. And the other thing is I immediately eliminated what? By that clue, you eliminate the sixes, because one digit can't be right and in the right place and one digit be right and in the wrong place when it's the same number and they're in the same place, right? So it just told you the sixes
and
are
that
wrong.
That is the mistake. That's the mistake I made. Where you get fooled, and this is where I got fooled my first run, is with the first two clues. I think if I had worked backwards, or if they had put the order of clues in reverse, I think I would have gotten it pretty easy. But I kind of fell into the trap, and that's where I went wrong. And I saw a lot of guesses that put the six in there and missed it the way
was
I
a
did
lot
the
of
first time.
0-6
I put 0-6-2, and then I corrected it because I got fooled, and it's actually 0-4-2.
So you eliminate the sixes because it can't be. It just told you it can't be the sixes because they are in the same spot in the first two rows, and it says one of them's in the right place, one of them's in the wrong place, so it can't be. So you eliminate the sixes, all right? So what does that first row give you right there? It gives you the two, okay, because the six and the eight have been eliminated. So you know that the two is now the third number, okay? So write down when you've got your three, you know, it's like playing hangman. So you write down two on the third spot. So you know two is the final number, all right? So let's go from there. Let's go down to the third line. Two digits are right, but both are in the wrong place. Once again, you know it's not the six. You know the two is a part of it, and it's in the wrong place. And so if it's not the six, the two's already a part of the number, then you know the zero must be a part of it, right? But it's in the middle, so it's not correct there. And then we go down to the last line, one digit is right, but in the wrong place. Well, we've already crossed out the three and the eight. The zero is a part of the equation, and it's telling you it's in the wrong place. So twice now it's told you the zero in the middle, zero in the third, is in the wrong place. So where does that put the zero? There's only one other place for it to be, at the beginning. So now you know your first number is zero. You know your last number is two. So now we need to figure out the middle, correct? And the only thing left after you've done all that is the second line. Because we've eliminated the six, one digit is right, but it's in the wrong place. So that leaves you with a one and a four, correct? Are we following along? Have I put everybody to sleep?
I'm listening.
I think Chase is sleeping.
I'm not sleeping.
I fell into the trap. I'm still frustrated with myself because they trick you with six being in there three times and right at the top. They say one digit is right and in its place. And then the next one also says one digit is right but in the wrong place. And so that's where they trap you. They kind of entice you to thinking six is in there, which it's not. And four, they kind of slip in there only one time in all of the four,
right.
all of the
Correct.
Five clues.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sneaks by you. They snuck the fastball by me. That's what happened.
They did.
They snuck it by me.
So the last clue is very simple. One digit is right. But in the wrong place. Well, the number is 614. We've eliminated the 6, and we don't have anything on the 1 or the 4. But it's the last clue left. Everything else is crossed off or in place. Well, if one digit is right, but it's in the wrong place, we're looking for the middle number. Well, they just told you it's not the 1, because it's in the wrong place. So that leaves what number? 4. That's in the third spot that's got to get moved to the middle. That's how I came up with it. So there you go. 0-4-2 is your correct answer. We got a lot of people that did pretty good on that. There were a lot of 0-6-2s. I will say that. Like you said, Willie, the 6 did throw a lot of people off. But one to recap.
Today's one is a whole different story. And I'm looking at it. It says right off the bat, 92% of the people get it wrong. I was in the 92%.
Right.
I got
so
it the second time.
The first time I missed.
So this is. This is the most fun one, I think. Very challenging.
This one is challenging. So we've tweeted that out. Go look at it, and we have asked you to identify how many squares are in that diagram. Okay, we've had two really good conversations on today's show. One was Scott Burnside, basically on the hockey side of things, of how would they move forward with something. His article in The Athletic was called "What Would a Centralized NHL Playoff Tournament Look Like?" And then we just talked with Jeff Hem, the play-by-play voice of the Sounds, who has seen the setup in Arizona, because that's where the Rangers spring training site is, and that's where typically he's gone out there with members of the Sounds during spring training and been a part of all that. And so he has seen the setup. So we've kind of wanted to get kind of the Major League Baseball and what we've, you know, what we have figured out is what we already knew is, one, it's going to be extremely difficult. But I'll go keep going back to what I've been saying on the show today. Yes, with that being said, but we are going to have to do things differently if we plan on having something going on in this country for the rest of the calendar year and beyond, right? Like, we just can't just sit here and do nothing. So we are going to have to figure out some things. Is it possible? Is it safe? Can it be pulled off? Dana White and Vince McMahon are already saying they're going to. They're continuing to do their product right now in a different fashion. So we talked about the reaction from Scott after talking to him. What was your reaction after talking with Jeff?
I thought about this. I think he really had great perspective on it, that he's, while we're all, you know, really hoping, can't wait to get games going and want to do it, that we all realize that this is going to be a process, right? That I think the only thing that shocked everybody yesterday, I believe, was the turn, you know, the month of May being tossed out there, because I think we all looked at that and said, no way, you know, we're not ready. We're not going to be ready in May. I think it's more realistic, you know, a few more weeks down the road to hopefully project that testing and knowledge and data will have come a long way. What we know about this, that's got to be part of the equation here. But then when you get into that, then I think you can start saying, here are the logistics. There are some, for example, that would say, hey, is there going to be risk? Can you eliminate the risk that nobody gets the virus in this bubble that we put everybody in? No, I don't think you can eliminate it. But would a player say, hey, you know what? I also can't eliminate the risk that, you know, I get a line drive or a pitch to the, or a line drive back to the pitcher and it hits the guy in the head. You know, there is some injury risk that you inherently take almost anywhere you go, right? There's a risk, you know, unfortunately, there's a risk that the bus could have an accident. You could be injured that way. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen. So I think that's going to be something you hear some. Also, I thought about this, guys. Where we're sitting in Nashville might be different perspective than if you're sitting in New York. For example, they're right in the thick of it right now, right? They're in their wave. They've been affected terribly by this compared to some other states. And so articles out of New York, there's one in the New York Post today, you know, are kind of urging them to chill out on this, you know, that maybe they're not ready to have that discussion yet in New York, compared to where we sit in Nashville, or maybe somebody sitting in St. Louis, or somebody sitting in Dallas, Texas. So those are a couple thoughts I had.
Here's one that has kind of come to my mind, and we haven't brought this up yet. Let's say that they come up with a plan like this, and they're going to go through with it. And you have the Players Association, you have the league, they're all on the same page. But then all of a sudden, as they're getting ready to do this, Mike Trout comes out and says, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I can't risk this. I don't like this plan. I'm very uncomfortable about this. I'm not going to play. What happens then?
It could happen. I think it could happen.
Sure,
I think the Players Association, I think that's where Tony Clark, who heads up the Players Association, has to get those answers behind the scenes first and gauge, you know, what the players are willing to do and what they're not willing to do. Here's another thing.
Because if Joe Schmo says I'm not going, nobody cares.
Well, here's the deal, though, Chase. They come off as very phony, because what do you get out of all these articles? And it's, you know, I keep going, well, duh. The players want to get paid, right? They want to get their money. It's like, well, how else do you think you're going to get it, man? You think it's going to be normal? No. So they're going to come off very phony, because all these articles we read is how the players are basically telling their PAs, like, hey, man, let's get going. I need my checks. I want my checks. I want to get paid for this year. Well, okay, fine. But then you can't come out and be like, yeah, but I'm not going to do things that way. Well, okay. Do you want your checks? Well, it's not going to be normal, okay? So let's just scrap that, okay? Let's forget. It's not going to be normal. So throw that idea away. Put it in the trash can. It's not happening, and at least not in this calendar year. So you come off very phony. And do I think that that could happen? Sure, I think the scenario you've thrown out there could happen. I don't know if it's someone with the magnitude of Mike Trout, possibly. But
I think it would have to be someone of that ilk, though, for it to make a difference. I mean, if
sure,
you know, if it's the no offense to the sounds, but if
pool,
it's the
a pool of guys,
yeah, if it's like a third, you know, a fringe third baseman that is up and down between AAA and the majors, then nobody cares. I mean, nobody's going to say anything. But if it's somebody that you know that is a big name, then that's going to start a whole different discussion. And there could be a trickle-down effect because of it. Like if Trout, you know, comes out and says, hey, you know what, I don't like this, then what happens if Mookie Betts is all of a sudden like, you know, Mike brings up some good points. That's kind of what I mean. And you're right, Darren.
Well,
I think would come off phony.
Those are the discussions that have to take place. That's why you have the union meetings, the Players Association, the reps. Those conversations are going to be extremely important. And I think you're going to have different perspectives, too. You might have a group of players who live in areas where or just happen to have family members, parents, whatnot, or that are more at risk, or maybe even some that have been affected adversely by the virus. And they're going to have a much different perspective than somebody who has not been, you know, hit either directly or indirectly by this virus, and they're just itching to play. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's going to be a lot of people. What about the management, right? Maybe the Yankees and the Mets are sitting in New York seeing, and they're probably around more people that have been affected. They might feel differently than
sure.
You know, the ownership and management form a group in a different area of the country.
Yep, no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Here's another thing I thought about, guys. What about this? And Darren, this is something you probably have thought about at some point, because I think about it all the time. Like my son plays for a travel team, right? They're on hold just like everybody else is. If and when baseball or any of these sports start playing, let's just push it back from May and get real, and say July or August, then what's the domino effect of all of the programs down the line, whether it's your summer league baseball team, your travel league? Do those leagues then take the cue? Let's throw softball in too. If you have a daughter that plays softball or summer volleyball, whatever it is, do those leagues then say, well, they've got the green light, so how do we start playing? You know, so you start asking yourself as a parent, when would you feel comfortable putting your son or your daughter out there in a situation? In a game, let's say you're trying to take precautions, you take those measures, but still, as Jeff Hem said, when the ball's being exchanged and there's body contact and things like that, I don't know if you can totally eliminate the risk.
Willie, the minute we leave our house, we're at risk. Okay, I mean, actually,
I don't even have to leave our house. I think these are discussions everybody has to have, right?
No question. I totally agree. I understand the question, and it's more than fair. But I guess what I would have to say to or how I would answer that is, actually, we don't have to leave our house because they're saying it can be transmitted from cardboard. You could get a package. You could get mail, and it could be on there. I mean, right? I mean, we're handling, by the way, handling money.
Yeah,
so
the
you're
chances
paying for
aren't
things.
Good, but it is possible.
You're
right.
Paying for, if you pay in cash or you get cash back, someone's handing you money. So it's coming from someone. It could be on paper. So I guess what I'm getting at is, yes, you have to weigh that, and you have to talk about that as a family. But every time we leave our house to go to the grocery store or to an essential place, whether it's, you know, Target or Walmart or whatever, Sam's Club, Costco, whatever you have to do, go get gas. By the way, you're picking up a nozzle that somebody else has been handling all day long. You know what I mean? Unless you're wiping it down, but we're at risk constantly. So that's what I've been getting at, is we're going to have to do things differently. But I do know this. I know that we can't sit in a bubble for the next 9 months to a year. I know that. Like, we can't survive.
I get that. But don't you think that you would also agree, because, you know, the first person we had on the very first day was Dr. Cobb, your close friend. And, you know, you would have to have people like him and health experts say, okay, we've come a long way. We've come further than we are today. As we sit here today, I would not be ready to go there in some of the things, right? I'm with you. I can't wait to get the green light, but I need more guidance. I need more data. I need the health experts to say, okay, we've made a lot of progress. We've A, flattened the curve. B, we've come a long way in testing. C, we've got a better way to diagnose what the risk is. Would you agree with that, Darren, that we haven't hit that date yet?
No.
I'd agree with that, too.
No, and I just talked to him recently. By the way, he goes into the belly of the eye of the storm every day. I mean, because I just talked to him a couple days ago, and I said, what are you doing? Are you open for business? I mean, he's like, yeah, every day, all day. He's like, I got, 35 patients coming in tomorrow. And I'm like, wow. So he's like, yeah. So that's every day. That's why I continue to say people in that profession, man, we are thinking about you. And I've seen a lot of really cool suggestions on social media, talking about, recognizing them at sporting events. When we get past all this, give your seat up to somebody in the medical profession, somebody who's a doctor or a nurse or whatever, first responder, when we get through this, because, man, they are dealing with stuff every day that we're not, okay? We're trying to do the right thing, but we're sitting here doing a radio show from our homes, and they go into hospitals and doctor's offices, and they put in 8, 10, 12, 14-hour days, depending on the craziness of the day. I got another friend in the medical profession that works at a hospital that I just spoke with last night that said that, Tuesday? Monday, was at the hospital for over 12 hours. And he said it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. And so, we're thinking about them. We're thinking about you. But I also know that those people are at risk every single day during their job. And these are fair questions, Willie. But I also know that Dr. Cobb told me, and I don't know if he wants me saying this or not. I mean, he's not hiding from it. I mean, you're allowed to do it. He would play golf over the weekend. They did it the right way. I mean, everybody, rides in a single cart or walks, and everybody stays at a safe distance. But there are people, I told you, you drive by golf courses, man, there's people out there playing. So we're constantly at risk. The point is we're constantly at risk.
If you have the knowledge, right, if you have the knowledge, and you've informed yourself on how this works, how this disease spreads, the virus spreads, and you take the proper precautions, then you can assess, okay, what is the risk of what I'm doing here? I've got to go to the grocery store, et cetera. I think the thing I think about, too, and I would hope everybody is doing this, I might be sitting there going, you know what, I'm keeping my risk low, but if I get it, if I get the virus, I'm that's okay. I mean, I'll be willing to fight it. What I would have a harder time doing is saying I would hate to have the virus be a carrier of the virus somehow. Maybe I'm not feeling it, and I'm out there, mm-hmm. and I'm responsible for spreading it to you and Chase or anybody else, and God forbid somebody who is really at risk, who has health issues or is older or whatever, and that's what I would not be able to live with. That's what I would be thinking about.
Sure, no doubt. But how would you know? No one could possibly blame you.
That's the
There's
thing
no
about
way
this
you
virus,
that.
Right? That's sure. What's different about this virus.
Yep. All right. Tell everybody about Lee Company.
All right. Lee Company, 567-1000, area code 615. I tell you about this every week on the show. They have a great operation. They've helped us before. And as I said yesterday, we're in our homes a lot, right? You should be in your home a lot. And you probably assessed a few things and maybe have more time to take a look at these things and say, this is what we're ready to do right now. We just need a little maintenance action here in this area of the house. Well, Lee Company has that department for you. You can call them, 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com and make an online appointment. Set it up. Get it taken care of. Down the road, you might have a renovation project you want to do when the time is right. Lee Company can help you with that. And, of course, the air conditioner. Don't tell me you haven't needed to turn it on here at some point over the last week or two, and you're probably going to need it every day here soon. Make sure it's running properly. Call Lee Company, 615-567-1000. They can do it all. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you. They are a proud sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey.
Our weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck coming up at noon. We're asking you to continue to vote, okay? And by the way, Tim will just stay with us for one segment today, not his normal two, but we did want to check in with him. We have got the voting up and running, and so we're asking you to go vote. We've got some really interesting matchups today with Steve McNair and Javon Kearse. In fact, while we're doing it, let's go on and get everybody updated. Chase, do you have it?
I do. Steve McNair leads the way 89% to 11% over Javon Kearse. And, you know, I thought Javon might give him a little bit of a run, but not the case so far. The 2-3 matchup, Roman Josi with 66%. The 3C, Keith Bullock with 34%. So Josi, the Preds captain, in control there. This is the one that is a little bit surprising to me right now. Frank Wycheck, a 4-seed, 58% of the vote over the 1-seed, David Price. So David Price is Willie mentioned earlier, the last of the Vandy boys, and he is losing right now. He'll join us today at 1:30. And then the 2-3, Shea Weber, 59%. Over Chris Johnson, the 3-seed, 41% of the vote.
Everything we've been talking about today, what do you think if this is the trend to getting these sports back? Okay, NBA in Las Vegas, Major League Baseball in the Phoenix area, NHL, let's just go off the model of what Scott Burnside put out there, kind of a centralized, basically the divisions will play somewhere. Let's just say that were to happen. What is the biggest obstacle you think the leagues are facing when they're in the rooms talking about this? What is the biggest hurdle to overcome, in your opinion?
I think testing, right? That's what we don't have right now that hopefully at some point we will have, right? I think you can try to come up with all the scenarios to avoid or minimize the contact and the risk. But until you have some more knowledge and assurance that, you know, if somebody gets it, what would happen if somebody got it, you know, and what goes with that? I think that's what we have. Like, we need more knowledge on this thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think just getting everyone on the same page to quarantine. I mean, you're asking, and I know, I think yesterday we kind of talked about it. Somebody threw out there, Willie, I think it might have been you, of if your family comes with you, that's going to be really hard to do with so many players. So I think just asking everybody, hey, yeah, you got to be sequestered. I mean, it's like jury duty. You cannot, I mean, you can talk to your families, but you have to be away from them for however long this is going to take. Because I feel like once you start it, barring some sort of outbreak within the, I call it a commune, barring some sort of outbreak, I mean, you got to stick with this as long as you can. I mean, that's once they start it, they can't stop unless somebody gets sick or they're told they have to. So I think that it's just kind of getting everybody on the same page there.
Yeah, I think to me it's some of the things that we talked about. Another, I don't know if this is number one on the list. It's not, but it's got to be high up there. Is who all is involved, right, in this village? Who all's involved in going on this?
Right.
Staff, when it comes to your staff, comes to media, and all the people that it takes, the other people, the outside force, because Scott brought up, right? Somebody's got to go in. They're going to be staying in hotels. So somebody's got to go in and change the beds every day and clean the hotel room. I mean, there's got to be a staff at a hotel, and then they've got to go somewhere to eat, right? They got to eat meals every day, so somebody's got to prepare their food. Somebody's got to clean up after them. And so who, you know what I mean? There's all these other people that have to be involved. There has to be cameramen.
Yeah. Let's take the hotel staff that you brought up there, and I think that's a great question. So in theory, let's say four teams are staying in the hotel, or is the entire hotel staff quarantined, and they're staying in the hotel too? I mean, would you go to those measures? And those people are then separated from their families for this period of time too, so that they're not in contact with anybody else that's been allowed in the bubble. Those are things that have to be going through people's minds right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, people that are cleaning the rooms, I don't know. They would never come in direct contact with the athlete or the people staying in the rooms, whoever's in the room. When it comes to meals, somebody preparing the meal, they would never come. But somebody's got to, you know, set it up. I don't know. It's a really good question. So I do, like I said, I don't think it's probably number one on the list, but it's got to be pretty high up there to figure out all the logistics to make all that work. All right, we'll come back third hour. We'll start things off with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Our weekly chat with him next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.